Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I don't know about you, but yesterday I watched in the morning the Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant memorial celebration. Then I watched, did this radio show. Then later in the evening, I watched Sabrina Ionescu and the Oregon Ducks women's team beat Stanford. It was a pretty challenging 24 hours for Sabrina Ionescu. And I also saw Vanessa Bryant get up and speak, and I thought, you know, it was tough. It had to be tough for her to talk about her daughter, Gigi, her husband, say goodbye like everyone else was saying. She also filed a lawsuit yesterday. Here were her comments yesterday, part of the deal.
God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together. Babe, you take care of our Gigi. And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team. We love and miss you, Boo-Boo and Gigi. May you both rest in peace and have fun in heaven until we meet again one day. We love you both and miss you forever and always. Mommy.
Vanessa Bryant, emotional, outspoken. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult that was. She also yesterday filed suit against the owner of the helicopter that crashed. And the wrongful death lawsuit was filed in Los Angeles Superior Court. She said the pilot was careless and negligent by flying in cloudy conditions, should have aborted the flight that killed all nine people. The lawsuit names both the pilot and Island Express helicopters. Our next guest to talk about it, Dan Lust, sports litigator. We've had him on before. Welcome back, Dan. I appreciate you.
John, thanks for having me on.
What was your reaction when you saw a lawsuit? Because I wasn't thinking or expecting lawsuit, given that you are a litigator and a national law analyst. I'm guessing you were waiting for this.
So I was expecting it. After we heard the tragic news about Kobe and we got this National Transportation Safety Board report. That's all those investigators going to the crash site. Once we got that report, I knew a lawsuit would be coming. I didn't expect it to come this quickly, given that you have several years to file a lawsuit. But I think there is some symbolism in this, John. The lawsuit is filed on 2/24, the same day as Kobe and Gianna's memorial. In the law, when you have a wrongful death action, what it seeks to do in general is to compensate the ones that have lost you, be it your spouse, your kids, and it seeks to kind of reimburse them financially for the money that you would have made them in their life had you not passed away. So as they said goodbye to Kobe and Gianna, this lawsuit, in theory, is designed to make them whole financially as best as possible. So there is some symbolism as to the timing as well.
Now, Vanessa Bryant is alleging that the pilot and the pilot's failure to abort the flight at the center of this. That now, from a legal standpoint, if Kobe is saying, "Hey, we've got to get there. We've got to get to the tournament. You do not land this plane." What is the pilot's responsibility?
Right. So the lawsuit here, and I think, John, I expected this lawsuit to come. I expected it to be in some way, shape, or form against maybe the manufacturers of this helicopter. With this lawsuit, and you pointed out, John, it's really just against the pilot and his employer, that's Island Express. This is not a lawsuit against, the FAA or air traffic control, which others had thought that would be the case. So what has kind of come out, and we all kind of, we were all trying to figure out what could have happened, right? Kobe was on his way to, the Mamba Academy for a game. Maybe Kobe was rushing the pilot. Maybe that was something that contributed to this flight. But legally, what this complaint alleges is that it's the pilot's obligation. He's the captain of the ship. If he sees a scenario that's unsafe to fly, it's his obligation and his sole obligation to abort the flight. And that's really what we're seeing in this. So the lawsuit is against him in his individual capacity, and I know this individual has passed away. It's going to be against his estate, whoever is appointed there. And it's against his company because of maybe their failure to adequately train the pilot to tell him to ground the flight under those conditions. And John, the smoking gun in all of this is that that company, Island Express, they didn't have the proper certification as a company to allow for flights under poor visual conditions. And that's what's kind of come up 5 years ago. This pilot in particular was cited for flying under poor conditions, which was not allowed for under the licensing of this company. So that's really the key piece of evidence here. This company is not allowed to be flying pursuant to their lack of a license, and that's precisely what they were doing on the date in question.
Dan Lust is with us, sports litigator. You can follow him on Twitter at SportsLawLust. Dan, Island Express helicopters, I don't have a sense of how big they are, but it's my understanding that they're no longer operating. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, and I reported that earlier today on my Twitter. I don't know how much that had been reported on, but January 30th, basically 6 days after this had went down, Island Express put out a notice on their website that they had ceased operations, and then someone had done some digging that was just an indefinite announcement. So many people were kind of wondering, you know, with a company like this, right, he's suing a pilot who's not, you know, he's not on Forbes' list of top 100 richest people in the country, right? He's suing a company, Island Express, that many of us, I'm sure most of us, have never heard of. So the question is whether these entities could alone support a lawsuit brought by someone like Kobe Bryant. The answer, just from what we're getting, is maybe not. I mean, this company has ceased operations within days of the accident, and that seems to be an indication from when we practice that someone is being prepared and readying to close up shop. So, you know, it's not to say that this lawsuit won't be fruitful and won't return some money, but it looks like you might just be limited to whatever's left of the company and whatever insurance could provide.
Could that be Vanessa Bryant's objective here, that, you know, she probably doesn't need the money? You know, I'm assuming that Kobe had life insurance, and I'm assuming that his earnings in the NBA and endorsements have set that family up for a lifetime. But is it possible that she's just trying to put Island Express helicopters out of business, that she's saying, look, they shouldn't have been doing this, they'll never do it to anyone else again?
That could be part of it, and I imagine that's part of it. And I think it's, you know, we kind of talked about it at the front, the fact that she's filing it on 224, I think is just kind of her way of saying, I don't want this thing to hang over my head for a couple months. I was planning to file this. Let me get this out of the way, and let me just kind of start the process, the road to recovery. The other reason that John had, some had mentioned that this lawsuit was filed early, by all indications, it's very strange. I don't want to say strange, but it's rare that a wrongful death action is filed basically within a month of the person passing. It's very rare just because, you know, the estate has to be cleaned up. There's a period of grieving. It usually takes a year or so. But why strategically some have said that this lawsuit came so early was because there was possibly a lawsuit brought by the other seven individuals in this helicopter against Kobe Bryant for the allegation that we spoke about, that perhaps Kobe in some way contributed in some way, shape or form, you know, to this crash. And also that Kobe seemingly organized this trip and he was footing the bill. So maybe Kobe had some supervisory control. You know, we don't have any lawsuits that are alleging that, but those were and remain in the realm of possibility. So the thought process being, if Vanessa Bryant were to get out in front of this lawsuit, make it a really straightforward lawsuit, just sue the employer, just sue the pilot, not making it a very complicated products liability case, and you get a finding of liability against the pilot and the helicopter company, maybe that's preempting any possible lawsuits against Kobe Bryant himself.
We're talking to Dan Lust. You hear him on ESPN and Fox Sports. He's a national sports law analyst and an attorney at Goldberg and Sagala. Dan, that's really interesting to me. So, we got a bunch of listeners who are parents who are parts of clubs, teams. I had a daughter, and we carpool to events. And are you saying that, you know, I guess anybody could sue anybody for anything, but are you saying that there's some liability in, if I organize the trip or a parent organizes the trip or rents a van for everybody involved, that you potentially put yourself at risk?
Potentially. I mean, what you have to show, John, at the end of the day, for any of these cases, there's something called causation, right? So there's been some talk in this case, right, that there wasn't a terrain awareness system, that they couldn't predict, you know, whether a mountain was close to it or whatnot. You have to show that failure or that kind of deviation from the standard of care was the actual cause of the harm. So we're still kind of figuring out all this on the fly. We don't know what was said by Kobe. We don't know what any of the conversations before these individuals got on the plane. We don't know anything like that. We don't know, perhaps maybe there was an issue with the weather beforehand, and maybe there's some emails or some phone calls that we're not aware of, where Kobe kind of assumed, hey, let's get on this flight. We'll make it there. This pilot, I've been with him for years. He's fantastic. So to the extent that something like that exists, where someone assumes a role of a guardian or assumes someone a role of someone being in charge in that particular situation, there could be potentially some liability. At the end of the day, what we're seeing, and from these NTSB reports and from the allegations by Vanessa Bryant, it looks like there was a failure by the pilot is being alleged. But you can't rule it out. It's still not out of the question that there could be other lawsuits, again, that do name Kobe Bryant's estate here, especially, John, given the pockets that we've talked about.
Right.
We talked about a pilot who's doesn't have the same wealth as Kobe Bryant. We talk about a company, Island Express helicopters, that looks like they might potentially be going out of business. Of those three people, the third being Kobe Bryant, which one of those three people has the most money? And I think the answer is probably Kobe. And to the extent that there's not sufficient funds for a lawsuit between the pilot and the helicopter company, maybe that's an avenue that one of the other seven victims does implore.
I think that's an interesting point. Yeah. Also, the pilot's estate or successor in the lawsuit, it was a Jane Doe or a Jane Doe One that was mentioned as, the potential successor to the pilot. Why is that provision put in there? And how vulnerable is the pilot's estate or his own family?
So the Jane Doe provisions put in there, to know who Jane Doe would be would require to look at this individual's, have an understanding of this person's family and maybe who in the will is appointed the executor of the estate. They just don't know that at this point in time. So they're saying Jane Doe or John Doe. That could be anybody. But what happens in these cases, talking about insurance is so sexy for a sports radio program,
yeah.
but I think it's important for these purposes. You normally have insurance and you're protected. Your personal assets are protected up until the limits of insurance. And then you have to be worried about your personal assets. So I'm making up a number. We don't know the number of this, but let's say, John, there's $5 million right in coverage for this helicopter company. And then maybe they'll say there's $10 million in the total for all the claims possibly brought by all the different people this estate. The company is not liable until you kind of exceed the limits of insurance. And the same would apply to the pilot here. He's going to be protected by his company's insurance policy. And that's because his acts, in theory, right, as far as we know, were done in furtherance of the company's business within the scope of his employment. So he'd be covered by the company's insurance policy. To the extent that he has done something, which, again, John, we don't know about, this is so early, that would completely deviate and would be so far outside of the scope of his employment, then that could be some avenue to kind of discharge him. But I don't think his estate is so worried. I think right now the company's insurance policy should cover that.
What do you think the disposition of this case will be, Dan?
I think it's going to be a long one. I think it's going to be a messy one. I think, John, what we haven't spoke about, right, there's seven other people that lost their lives in this incident. So the fact that Gianna Bryant and Kobe Bryant's lawsuit has come first, that probably opens the door to other lawsuits being filed on behalf of the other families that lost loved ones in that case. Usually in these wrongful death proceedings, you kind of wait until you see the other lawsuits that come in from other family members. The problem, John, here is you're already dealing with a very limited pot of assets, and we're talking about this potential going out of business of Island Express helicopters. So with already a limited amount of assets for Kobe's estate, the more people that follow suit, it's just there's a very limited pool of assets. So, you hope this doesn't get messy, but there is a limited amount of funds that appears to be there for their recovery. So it's going to take some time. These wrongful death cases proceed slowly. And there is a statute of limitations in the state of California that allows for a couple years to have this done. So I don't expect there to be that much traction on it soon, but I think it does send a message that Vanessa Bryant got out in front of it so quickly.
Dan Lust, sports litigator, I appreciate you, man. Good stuff.
Thanks, John. Happy to come on anytime.
There he is, Vanessa Bryant. I hadn't thought about the potential liability to Kobe Bryant's estate from the other passengers, the families of the other passengers who were on board. And to spin that forward, if you're out there, you carpool, you arrange a carpool, How much liability do you have? Does Peter have? Does Adriana have? If you are the person who's putting that together, just to take, you know, the tragedy of the Kobe Bryant situation and bring it into year 2020 in a litigious society, it shouldn't be what it's about. But ultimately, I think what I heard from our expert there, Dan Lust, who goes on ESPN and Fox Sports nationally, I think what I heard from him is that the symbolism of her filing on the day of the memorial, filing quickly, filing simply in a very simple lawsuit against the operator of that helicopter, may be a preemptive move that is a legal strategy to keep or protect Kobe Bryant's family from being sued by seven other members who were killed in that helicopter crash. It's really interesting. Coming up, our big splash. We'll talk to Kelly Graves, the Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. I've got an update on Oregon State's pursuit of the renovation of Reser Stadium. All of that still ahead. Telling you, this sea lion story that you've all been seeing, they found a sea lion wandering miles from shore. Fishermen are all kind of nodding, going, see, told you. We told you those sea lions were going to end up in your front yard. It's weird to see a fish out of water. It's weirder to see a sea lion out of water. I knew what a fish looked like out of water. It flops around, struggling to breathe. But a sea lion, I had not imagined it like wandering down a country road. If you haven't seen that video, look at, just Google sea lion video and it'll pop up. Every day on the show, we do our big splash. Today's no different.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where?
Down there.
Must be. The big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Oregon Ducks star guard Sabrina Ionescu reached 2,000 points, 1,000 assists, and 1,000 rebounds. She's the first player in Division I basketball history, men's or women's, to get that feat.
I mean, that one was for him. To do it on 2/24/20 is huge. We talked about it in the preseason. I can't really put that into words, and he's looking down and really proud of me, and just really happy for this moment with my team.
Ducks beat Stanford last night. Sabrina Ionescu was terrific, but Satu Sabali was the player of the game. 27 points. Oregon cruised along. They look like a team that is getting its legs underneath them and feeling every bit like a team that will end up in the Portland Regional. We'll talk to Kelly Graves later in the show. After the game, he said he had no words, and he'll bring some words at 2 o'clock on this radio show. So we'll talk to him then. Coming up, we'll talk about gambling.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.